Tonight we're going to be talking about something that is very near to my heart. I've titled it, Passing the Torch, the Call of the Church to Train Up the Next Generation. Not too long ago, during our Blast Camp service, Pastor Don spoke on living for the next generation. And he spoke from Judges chapter 2, where he highlighted the need to live out your Christian faith for more than just yourself, but also for that the generations that are under you. If you remember, Judges chapter 2 outlines a scary reality of what happens when a group of people forget to invest in future generations. Judges chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." Tonight, I want to share a few practical steps to investing in the next generation, using Timothy as our example. So we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. I'll read them out. It says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Before we go any further, I'm just going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you that we could gather here at this church to learn more about you, to worship you, to glorify your name, Lord. So we pray that your name would be glorified, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. Correct anything that I might say in error, and may this message just be glorifying to you and fruitful for our church. In your name we pray, amen. So, I don't have a super long intro like Pastor Don, so I'm going to get right to it. Point number one. Timothy is shaped by the people in his life. There's no doubt that we are all shaped by the people around us. But I think even more so for the people who are younger. So A, he is shaped by his family. First, we see that Timothy's life was built upon his familial foundation. We see that in the fifth verse where it says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Timothy's preparation for the great ministry that he would go on to do started as a child through the teaching and the guidance of his family. He grew up in a household of, quote, sincere faith, which Timothy ends up finding for himself too. We know from later on in 2 Timothy that his family surrounded him with the word of God in his early years. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15 say, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing that from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Timothy's foundation for his life was fostered and built up as a young child. It started within the walls of his own house. Parents, I want to encourage you today to not lose sight of the call that has been placed on your lives. You have the opportunity to raise up members of the church. Now, as you may or may not know, I don't have kids of my own just yet, but I know that as parents, one of your goals is to invest in the future of your kids. You want to use money to invest into their futures. You work hard to provide for them, some working super long hours to make ends meet. You make sacrifices for their sake. You choose to celebrate their achievements and milestones rather than your own. Investing in your kids is something that I can see brings you great joy. As parents, though, I see in these verses that there's a special call to invest the word of God into your kids, to teach them and train them at a young age. Think about it. I bet Timothy's mother and his grandmother never knew all the lives that Timothy would touch throughout his own life with the gospel. They would have had no idea that he would be a well-known person that we still read about in the Bible today. They just invested and taught him, little by little, sowing these seeds in any way they could. This is one of the most beautiful things about children and about youth. They're at an age where they might not really know where they're going to end up one day. You don't know at this point how God might use them for his glory. You don't know whose lives they might impact. But your job is to just keep sowing those seeds little by little. Teach them the truth of the Bible. Instill values and character into them. Model what it means to serve the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You just never know what God might grow those little seeds into one day, and investing in them is worth your efforts. So 1B, Timothy was also shaped by Paul, his mentor. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 say, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So Paul plays a big role in Timothy's life as his mentor. He helps to train and to prepare Timothy for the ministry that he's going to do. He encourages him amidst the various difficulties and trials that Timothy encounters. He checks in on Timothy and gives him words of wisdom. He empowers Timothy to use his life for the glory of God. He tells Timothy to fan into flame the gifts that Timothy has been blessed with. And the amazing thing is that a lot of this he's doing from prison. What a beautiful picture of discipleship this is. Paul, yes, the Paul from the Bible whose books we read, he took the time to invest into the life of a young man. Paul stood beside Timothy, ready to help him live out the calling that God placed on his life. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and the podcast was on youth group discipleship. And this podcast was advocating for small group time as a means to allow for discipleship to happen in a youth group of a larger size. The quote that kind of struck me was this: "Church is not always done in rows, but rather in circles." Church is not always done in rows, but rather in circles. I take this to mean that while attending church is extremely important, there is a level of interaction and community that we can't forget about when we just come to sit in on a service like this. Discipleship doesn't happen in its fullest form through a message like this. It doesn't always happen in programs or events. It happens in small pockets of discussion. It happens in community and conversation with others. And I think this leads us to a more full picture of what church really is. Now, this may sound strange coming from me, the youth pastor, but hear me out, church. Our young people need mentors. You may say, "Well, isn't that your job as the youth pastor?" To which I will answer, yes, of course it is. However, unfortunately, as you can see, I am only one person. The youth leaders and I work hard to connect with the youth. We're implementing new things this fall to try to increase the opportunities for discipleship. But we need you, the church, to join with us. We need people who are passionate about sharing their knowledge, who will encourage and empower the next generation. Youth groups are great, and I love that students have a place to go with people who are their age to worship and to learn about God. But discipling them and mentoring them is a whole body effort. I debated on whether I should share this or not, but how would you feel if you knew that there are young adults in this church, so people between the ages of 18 to 30, who would love to be mentored and discipled? Point number two, Timothy is given a purpose within the body of Christ. So I see this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. We've read it already, but I'll read it again. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I love this encouragement here from Paul. He's empowering a young Timothy to use his gifts for the sake of the gospel. He's challenging Timothy to confidently live out his calling and to bring glory to the name of the Lord. I don't know how that lands with all of you, but as a young person, Having someone speak empowering and encouraging words over you makes a big difference. Paul shows us that there's a difference between just recognizing the gifts of the next generation and encouraging them to actually use them. It can be easy to overlook these young people in our church, assuming that maybe their maturity isn't quite there yet, or that they don't have enough knowledge to be able to carry out different tasks or serving opportunities. But that doesn't seem to be the heart of Paul by any means here. Rather than counting Timothy out, he chooses to give him opportunities to learn and to develop. We have this verse up on the wall in our youth room from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." I tell our youth all the time that it doesn't matter that they are young. They are able to make a decision right now to live for Jesus, and he will be able to use them in ways that they could never imagine. They don't need to wait 5 years. They don't need to wait 10 years. God can use them right now. Youth have such a unique opportunity to be used by God within the body of Christ. There's something so special about seeing young people serve the Lord with all their heart. There's a type of encouragement that it brings to us. Are we actively finding ways to make room for them to do so? For those of you who may not know, we have a student leadership team in the junior high youth. It's called the Junior Youth Council, or if you want to be cool, you can call it the JYC. The JYC consists of 7 students, and they get to make all of the important decisions in the youth group. So what desserts we're going to have at our Christmas banquet, the types of pizza we get to have at our overnighter. Secondary, but almost as important as that, they are the go-to youth when someone new walks in to the room. They are the ones who get to share a little bit more with the rest of the group. They are the ones who are seen as role models and leaders among their peers. During our meetings, we meet about once a month, I started to teach them some of the skills that are required of leaders, both within the youth group and within the church as a whole. I gave this one little lesson on the importance of welcoming new people who walk through our youth room doors. It was kind of a funny discussion. We acted out what it would be like if someone new walked through the doors, acted out what they could say. We talked about how to approach people. We talked about the impact of what it looks like when someone is welcomed within the youth group. And then I told them that from now on, when someone new walks in our doors, I will do my part to introduce myself, but then afterwards, I'm going to come to them and take these new youth to them so that they can do the same. Well, my heart was challenged and encouraged when I saw this group of students take this little lesson and put it into practice. One of the JYC members in particular had this incredible way of making new people feel at home. Youth who may have never stepped into the church before, they ended up coming back on a weekly basis. This group of students took this challenge and ran with it, and exceeded my expectations to say the least. I pray that our church continues to look for ways to use the youth that we have. I've seen it over and over and over again. All the young people need is an opportunity, a little bit of guidance and direction, and they will take whatever it is at hand and blow you away with it. Young people are looking for a purpose in their lives. Why not help them find it here at church? Point number 3, this is my last point. Timothy is humble and teachable. So I wanted to quickly speak here to the young people, those of us who are in kind of like the young adults range and below. We have a responsibility in this whole picture as well. We could have all the resources we need. We could have people from the church lining up to disciple and train us. We could have God open doors for opportunities to find our place within the church. But if the posture of our hearts is not right, it could all go to waste. I was struck by these words in Acts chapter 16 because they show the posture of Timothy's heart. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This was Timothy's first encounter with Paul. Paul hears these good things about Timothy, and he wants to bring him on board to join in of the spreading of the gospel. Or in other words, he involves young Timothy within the body of Christ. Now, imagine for a minute you're in Timothy's place here. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Paul, before, but he comes up to you for the first time, wanting you to join him in sharing the gospel with these Jewish people. Sounds great, right? Until then, he tells you that in order to be able to carry out this mission, you are going to need to be circumcised. Yikes. When I read this, immediately my mind went to the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23, where Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So, in this situation, Paul calls for Timothy to humble himself. His call for Timothy to, just like these verses say, become one under the law, even though the old covenantal sign of circumcision is no more. He calls Timothy to become a servant to others. I love that Timothy doesn't argue with Paul. He doesn't try to convince him that Paul was just old and wasn't up to date with the next generation. He doesn't seem to hold anger or frustration in his heart. He simply humbles himself for the sake of the gospel, and what a beautiful picture that is. Please hear me, young people, when I say this, and know that I'm also reminding myself of this too when I share it. God calls us to be humble and teachable towards those who are more spiritually mature than we are. It can be so easy, and I know this because I'm guilty of it too. It can be so easy to be dismissive of people who are older than us. It can be easy to disregard their way of thinking and living simply because, well, times are different now. We can chalk things up to the fact that older generations just don't get it, that they didn't have the technology we do. Their struggles as a young person are different than ours, and they're just too far removed from our age to understand what life is like. But when we think like that, we miss the essential truth that the gospel never changes. Yes, things may be different in the world around us, but God never changes. If we are unwilling to be humble, to be teachable, and to give ear to those who are wiser, we miss out on endless amounts of opportunities to learn about God. His truths don't change. The Bible and its instruction hasn't changed, and the wisdom needed to apply it to our lives also has not changed. You may disagree with other people at times, but we must be humble enough to at least consider what they have to say. It takes wisdom to recognize that it is impossible to be right in every single way of thinking. In closing, I want to say that Timothy's faith and ministry didn't just appear out of nowhere. He was shaped by his family, he was mentored by Paul, he was given a place and purpose to live out his faith, and he was humble and teachable along the way. So here's the question we are left with this evening. Will you help to raise and train the next generation in our church? Investing in the next generation has to be the mission of the church as a whole. Imagine, 10, 20 years down the road, some of the young people here tonight will be leaders. They'll be pastors, missionaries, parents, Sunday school teachers, and Christian witnesses wherever they go. They will be the ones with the main role within the church as the body of Christ. What they will be depends in part on how we invest in them today. What they will be depends in part on how we invest in them today. Pastor Don, at the end of some of his sermons, he famously says, if you're here and you're under the age of 30, okay, I'm gonna flip that. If you're here and you're over the age of 30, I want to ask, what can you do to invest in the next generation? Can you pray for them? Can you encourage them when you see them serving? Can you get to know them as you see them here week after week? Can you mentor or guide or teach them? Can you be a listening ear to them? Can you create a new opportunity to use them within the church? As I was writing this message, it made me reflect a lot on my own faith journey. And trying to think about the countless people who have invested into my life kind of blew my mind. Countless people have prayed over my life. So many teachers and pastors have taught me from the Bible. My parents have demonstrated what it means to value Jesus. I've had the opportunity to serve in the church, and I've been mentored by different church and youth leaders along the way. My life, although not perfect by any means, is a result of many people making little investments into me. I'm so grateful that I had a church to come alongside me and one that still does to this day. And I look forward to seeing how God will continue to use this church to pass our faith onto the generations to come.